Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth begin in my heart and be a light along life's path for these, your people. Amen. After some last-minute Christmas shopping, Grandma was rushing with her grandkids into the car. As she was closing the door, 4-year-old Jason said, "Grandma, Susie has something in her pocket." He reached into his sister's pocket and pulled out a new red beret. Though the grandma was tired, she knew it was important for Susie to take the beret back to the store, apologize to the manager, and put the item back where she found it. So they did just that. Later, the group stopped for a few quick groceries. And at the checkout, the clerk asked, "Have you kids been good for Santa?" Big brother Jason said, "I've been very good, but my sister, she just robbed the store." I'm certain that as we approach this Christmas Eve, all boys and girls have been being good. How exciting it is to wait for Santa. But I want to make sure you all know that it's even more exciting, however, that we wait for the baby Jesus. I read about a man in Wales who sought for 42 years to win the affection of a certain woman. Finally, on his 43rd attempt, she said yes. By then, they were 74 years old. Every week, for more than 40 years, this rather shy man slipped a weekly love letter under his neighbor's door. After writing 2,184 letters without ever getting a response, this persistent old man finally summoned up enough courage to present himself in person. He knocked on the door of the reluctant lady and asked for her hand. To his delight and surprise, she accepted. I think there's something about a personal visit. More than 2,000 years ago, God made a personal visit to this place we call Earth in the form of a baby born in Bethlehem. It's probably the most loved, and it's certainly the best known story of all time. But this story begins with a major piece of drama. No room for them in the inn. Those were the words that have touched our hearts for 2,000 years. No room. Is there any room for Christ in your world, in your home, in your heart? That's the simple question we need to ask. Do you have room for Jesus? So many things can and often do crowd him out. For example, the busyness of the season. This time of year can crowd him out. Our service today might be the first chance many of you have had to catch your breath, to take in the true meaning of the holiday season. Author Max Lucado, in his book, The Applause of Heaven, tells a story of how the busyness of life can cause us to shut Christ out. He tells a legend about an emperor in India who built a grand temple in memory of his second wife. We know it as the Taj Mahal. The building of this memorial began in 1631. It took 20,000 people working 22 years to complete. The legend says that the emperor wanted the temple as a dramatic symbol of his love for his wife. Her coffin was placed in the center of a large parcel of land, and the construction of the Taj Mahal was begun around it. No expense was spared. But as the weeks turned into months, the Shah became obsessed with the grand hall that he was constructing. He was so engrossed with the project that he almost forgot about his wife. Then late one evening, while hurriedly walking from one side of the construction site to the other, he accidentally bumped his leg into a wooden box. He was irritated by this. Impatiently, he brushed the dust from his leg and ordered the workers to throw the box out. The emperor did not realize that the box held the remains of his beloved wife. He had thrown out her coffin. He failed to remember that she was there. Thus, the one for whom the temple was being built had been cast out. The one who had inspired the whole project was completely forgotten. The one the temple was intended to honor had been harshly pushed aside, absentmindedly thrown away, blatantly ignored. This ancient legend is a painful but relevant parable of the way some people celebrate Christmas today. Sometimes we become so involved in the tasks and the details of Christmas that we forget the one for which Christmas is honoring. The very busyness of the season may keep us from making room for Jesus. Or it could be that our own coldness of heart might be keeping Jesus out. Not everyone is prepared spiritually for the coming of Jesus into their heart. In a story in the Christian Century several years ago, which I saved all this time, Harriet Ritchie wrote and told about an incident in her family's life that revealed to her the true nature of Christmas. Following their church's late night Christmas Eve service, Harriet's family decided to stop somewhere for a late night breakfast. The only place open that late on Christmas Eve was a truck stop at a nearby interstate junction. A few big diesels rumbled outside. Inside, a few truckers sat at the counter. A jukebox was playing a country song. On the front window, there were a few multicolored blinking lights. The place smelled like bacon grease and stale cigarette smoke. A one-armed man stood behind the counter. The family squeezed into a booth. A thin waitress named Rita sauntered over. She managed a weary smile and handed them their menus. Harriet looked around. She felt a little bit like a snob and out of place. Her family had just come from a beautiful Christmas Eve service, and soon they would be heading to their lovely home for the rest of the evening. She thought one day they would look back with a laugh and say to each other, "Remember the Christmas Eve that we ate breakfast at a truck stop? That awful music and those tacky lights?" She was staring out the window when an old Volkswagen van drove up. A young man with a beard and wearing jeans got out. He walked around and opened the door, and a young woman who was holding a baby climbed out. They worked their way inside to the truck stop and found a booth nearby. When the waitress Rita took their order, the baby began to cry, and neither of the young parents could quiet him. Rita, the waitress, reached over and held out her arms. "Sit down and drink your coffee, hon. Let me see what I can do." It was evident that Rita had done this before with her own brood. She began talking and walking around the truck stop. She showed the baby to one of the truckers, who began whistling and making silly faces. The baby stopped crying. She showed the baby the blinking lights on the window and the lights on the jukebox. As Harriet watched, she felt tears well in her eyes. Her husband wanted to know what was wrong. "Nothing, just Christmas," she told him, reaching in her purse for a Kleenex and a quarter. "Go see if you can find a Christmas song on that jukebox," she told her children. When they were gone, Harriet said, "He'd come here, wouldn't he?" "Who?" her husband asked. "Jesus," Harriet said. "If Jesus were born in this town tonight, and the choices were our neighborhood, our home, our church, or this truck stop, it would be here, wouldn't it?" Her husband didn't answer right away, but looked around the place, looked at the people, and finally he said, "Either here or a homeless shelter." "That's what bothers me," Harriet said. "When we first got here, I felt sorry for these people because they weren't going to be home, going home to neighborhoods where their houses were lit up for Christmas. Now, I think that more than any place I know, this is where Christmas is, but I don't belong." As they walked to their car, her husband put his arm around her. "Remember," he reminded her, "the angel said, 'I bring good news of great joy to all people.'" If you have a cold heart, that story meant nothing to you. If you have room in your heart for Christ this Advent season, it could change the way you look at the world. The busyness of the season may keep us from making room. The coldness of our hearts may have the same effect. But the most likely cause of our not making room for Christ, however, is our insistent preoccupation with our own needs. Some of you may be familiar with a movie from the 1940s, The Bishop's Wife. An Episcopal bishop played by David Niven, has been working for months on the plans for a new cathedral. It becomes an obsession for him. Like the emperor building the Taj Mahal, the bishop loses sight of his family. He almost forgets that he's a clergyman in the first place. He's so frustrated, he turns to God for guidance. God responds by sending him an unlikely angel named Dudley, in this version played by Cary Grant. Dudley does help, but not in the way the bishop might have preferred. The movie is both a comedy and a drama. But of course, in the end, everyone lives happily ever after. In the final scene, the bishop delivers a Christmas Eve sermon at his former parish, a sermon which is penned by the angel Dudley. It begins like this. Tonight, I want to tell you the story of an empty stocking. Once upon a midnight clear, there was a child's cry, a blazing star hung over a stable, and wise men came with birthday gifts. We haven't forgotten that night down the centuries. We celebrate it with stars on Christmas trees, with the sound of bells, and with gifts, but especially with gifts. You give me a book, I give you a tie. Aunt Martha has always wanted an orange squeezer, and Uncle Henry can do with a new pipe. For we forget nobody, adult or child. All the stockings get filled. All, that is, except one. And we've even forgotten to hang it up. The stocking for the child born in a manger. It's his birthday we're celebrating, after all. Don't let us ever forget that. Let us ask ourselves what he would do for the most, what he would wish for the most. And then let each put in his share, loving kindness, warm hearts, and a stretched out hand of tolerance. All the shining gifts that make for peace on earth. Wouldn't that be a wonderful tradition for us to begin in our own households, maybe this Christmas Eve? Hang up an extra stocking for the Christ child, and perhaps put in that stocking something truly relevant to the season. Perhaps a gift to be presented later to a person in need. Or simply, it could be a prayer, signifying that we will work more earnestly for God's kingdom in the year ahead. Is there room in this night, in your world, for the Christ child? Or is there still no room in the inn? Amen.